In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let me begin by asking you a question. What's the one thing that you value the most? Every person has something that gives purpose and meaning to life. And most people will sacrifice just about anything to obtain it. Now, certainly the culture around us holds up certain sorts of things as the things we need to work towards obtaining in order to have some value. Madison Avenue might convince you it's that bigger house or that shiny new car, or perhaps retiring before the age of 50, that these are the things that make you valuable, something to strive for, something to seek. But as the old cliche has it, not everything that glitters is gold. In fact, nothing that Madison Avenue or this world has to offer will last very long at all. In effect, all that glitters might indeed be fool's gold. That huge home, that shiny new car, that 6-7-figure income. None of them is going to mean a thing. A century from now, you will control none of it. And in fact, except for a very few people, a century from now, nobody will even know our names. Such is the value of things that perish. You know, crowds would follow Jesus, but they didn't always follow him for the right reasons. In our text, Jesus had just fed 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish. And the people wanted more, so they sought him out. They even crossed a lake to find him. And yet Jesus identifies immediately the reason why they had done so. Because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Now, it wasn't luxuries. It wasn't big cars and houses and bank accounts that they sought. It was a necessity of life. It was simply bread, food. And they sought him out in order to gain more of that bread. But it was bread of the wrong kind. Because, you see, they didn't catch on about what it is. That is, the bread that Jesus truly gives. Now, of course, coming to seminary was part of a bigger plan for all of you, a bigger plan to somehow gather a lot of the world's goods. Our admissions counselors undoubtedly promised you the same kind of lucrative financial positions that medical school or law school or business school would give you. And you look forward to that day when you can start obtaining those stock options. I don't think a single seminarian or deaconess student here came under those illusions. Instead, you have chosen to prepare for a vocation that truly promises very little in terms of monetary reward, in terms of the things of this world. And yet you still know that the Lord is going to provide daily for the things that you need. Remember what we confess in the Lord's Prayer when we say, "Give us this day our daily bread"? Luther says daily bread includes everything that has to do with the support and needs of the body. This is precisely what Jesus provided in the feeding of the 5,000, and exactly what the people were seeking to obtain more of. The problem is not, though, in daily bread for the body, but in making this kind of bread the reason for following Jesus. Think how perishable all the things of this world are, both the needs and the luxuries of life. They can be gone in an instant. Some of you went down to the ravaged Gulf Coast after Katrina, and you saw what could happen in an instant where it's gone for hundreds of thousands of people, all of their earthly accumulations, everything that they had worked for, Their homes, their cars, everything gone. And even if you can retain control of it throughout your earthly life, the fact is, someday you're going to die. And when you do, somebody else is going to get all that stuff. And like the writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us, you don't know whether that person is going to be a wise man or a fool. Jesus warns the crowd, and he warns us, do not work for food that spoils. The things of this world, whether we see them as great or small, everything we receive actually does, in fact, come from the good hand of God. Luther also wrote, God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. And as important as daily bread is for the stomach, it's never the thing that can define our lives. Something else has to define it. That something else is this: food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Here's what matters: the food that lasts forever. Certainly, Jesus is not now talking about something of this world, even though it is something that comes into this world. Here is food that the world can neither give nor can it ever take away. That food is found only where it is given by the one who is the bread of life, Christ Jesus himself. It is his gracious preaching of himself. It is his gracious giving of himself in his supper. There we eat the bread that endures to eternal life. And you know, we're not going to remember every time Jesus so feeds us. I know growing up, my mother would prepare countless meals for her family. And every single one of those meals nourished us. There's only a few I can remember, a very few. And yet, that does not mean that the meals I don't remember in my conscious mind were any less important. They fed, they nourished. How many times have you and I heard that great good news of the Christ? How many times have we heard a sermon or heard it proclaimed anywhere that Christ has risen? How many times have we heard it proclaimed that in his death, he took our death? How many times have we heard it proclaimed that in him is forgiveness and life eternal, peace with God, every blessing that God has? How many times have we knelt at his altar and there received that very body and blood, and the bread and the wine of his supper? Yet every time Christ was there, you were fed, you were nourished with the bread that endures to eternal life. How is that so? Because, as Jesus said, the work of God is this: to believe in the one he has sent. This feeding is the work of God. It's his calling, his directing. No, not to ourselves, not to the things of this world around us, but to himself, who is the one that was sent. It is in this believing of that great eternal message of life, the one that transforms the world, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. It is there in that message of Lent, that pilgrimage we're now on leading to Jerusalem. It is there in the repeated stories of his suffering, of his death, of the nails of the cross, of a tomb. It is there in that great climactic announcement of Easter morning that Christ is not dead, he is risen. It is there every time you recall your baptism. It is there every time you kneel at that altar and you're fed with the one who comes to you now as the bread of life, feeding you with himself. This is the bread that Jesus gives. And this is the bread that endures forever. Amen.